Healthy Alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. I'm Dr. Jerry Teplitz. What Healthy Alternatives is about is most of us really want to reach optimal levels of health and wellness. We want to feel better, live longer, and enjoy life even more. And that's what I attempt to bring you on each of the shows that I'm doing. My guest today is going to be Katrina Ariel. She's a highly certified yoga instructor. She's author of Yoga for Dragon Riders. She's host of Yoga Radio on Voice of America Health and Wellness Channel. And she teaches a dynamic range of yogas from therapeutic alignment, restorative yoga, meditation, a whole range of things. And her latest book is Yoga for Dragon Riders, and we'll be talking to Katrina Ariel in just a few moments. Every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. What I want to talk about today is what's happening in Texas. There is an organization called the Texas Medical Board, and they're charged with licensing medical doctors and supervising them. There is an MD, PhD, Stanislaw Brzezinski, who's a biochemist practicing medicine in Texas, and he, many years ago, developed a gene-targeted cancer therapy called antioplastones. Back in the 80s, the Texas Medical Board went after him with all guns blazing because they were concerned about the effectiveness of this treatment. Because with his treatment being effective, it means standard cancer treatments, which are very expensive, toxic drugs being used, very expensive machinery, long-term applications of treatments, would go out the window. So they went after him, and they actually lost. After numerous attempts, the government went after him, the federal government, they lost too. And then the FDA has finally licensed him to be able to do research on his program in clinical studies. Well, the Texas Medical Board is back. There were 2 deaths of terminally ill patients that happened while under his care, and the medical board is charging him with off-label use of FDA-approved drugs. One of the things you should be aware of is Dr. Brzezinski uses off-label drugs in order to tailor the medications specifically to an individual's genetic profile rather than using the one-size-fits-all approach. He takes blood samples, tissue samples, and then creates a molecular profile for that person, and then he chooses a variety of existing FDA-approved drugs to tailor his gene-targeted therapy of antioplastones. Now, even a prestigious organization like the American Society of Clinical Oncology has stated that targeted therapies and personalized diagnosis and treatment is where we're going to be going over the next decade. Well, Dr. Brzezinski is already there. So the Texas Medical Board, one of the complaints was about a patient who had triple negative breast cancer. She'd already undergone conventional cancer treatment without success, and she initially felt better after Dr. Brzezinski's treatment, even able to return to work. And the board is charging Brzezinski over the side effects of his treatment, even though they ignored the tremendous negative side effects that happened from the conventional cancer treatment. The other complaint is about a patient who had a cancer so rare that any medication used would have had to have been off-label to begin with. That patient lived for 5 more years and their tumor size decreased by 40%, but the Texas Medical Board is complaining that the disease actually progressed during the treatment. Turns out there's actually nothing illegal about using FDA-approved drugs off-label. As a matter of fact, the American Cancer Society study showed 8 out of 10 cancer doctors use drugs off-label. And half the chemotherapy drugs used are for conditions not listed on the FDA-approved drugs. And half the chemotherapy drugs are used for conditions not listed on the FDA-approved drug label. So there's probably something going on underneath this that Brzezinski is threatening the bottom line of the regular medical establishment, and they're doing whatever they can to try and stop them. If you Google, you'll find there is a film about Dr. Brzezinski and a new film about his upcoming court case. Just Google Brzezinski, B-U-R-Z-Y-N-S-K-I. Dr. B-U-R-Z-Y-N-S-K-I. And the case starts middle of April. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can go to teplitz.com, teplitz.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I also do a monthly e-newsletter that's free. It's also health, nutrition, wellness oriented. It's on things that I don't cover in Healthy Alternatives. And so you can go to my website, teplitz.com. You'll see the Home About button. Click there and you'll be able to sign up for it. On the Healthy Alternatives page you're on now, you'll see at the top of it, Dr. Jerry Recommends. And you can go there for recommendations I'm making on practitioners, on approaches that you should be knowing about. So go take a look there at Jerry Recommends. Every week, I also like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough. It's the newest discoveries, latest information about healthier alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, and loved ones. What I want to talk about is who is using complementary and alternative medicine. Turns out that healthcare workers are using it more than the general population. About 76% of healthcare workers use complementary and alternative medicine, compared to 63% of the general population, and that healthcare providers, which are doctors and nurses, are more than twice as likely to have used a practitioner-based alternative and complementary medicine practitioner, and nearly 3 times as likely to use self-treatment with these alternatives than support workers are. What's going on with this is, as psychiatrist Joalynn Schoen wrote in Healthy Behavior News Service, that as insiders, healthcare workers understand what's missing in our medical system. So they're more educated than others about orthodox and alternative medicine, and it looks like they're really into using it now. When you're talking about complementary and alternative medicine, you're talking about things like nutritional medicine, naturopathy, herbs, homeopathy, nutritional-based therapies, Ayurvedic, energy medicine, chiropractic, traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture, meditation, hypnosis, yoga, a whole gambit of things that we're looking at. And we're going to be talking to my yoga expert a little bit later in the show. Now, there was a study published in the Archives of Internal Medicine that found that 6.5 million Americans were referred to mind-body therapies such as yoga, meditation, guided imagery by their doctor or another healthcare practitioner. And the person who did this study actually said she was inspired by her patients to pursue this research because they kept telling her how much better they felt using these kinds of things. Many years ago, I said that it was the patients who were going to force the medical docs and the medical community to move into alternative and complementary medicine, and it's nice to see when your prediction is coming true. So now what we have to do is get the other rest of the general population up to where the docs and nurses are, and we may even have a healthier society, for real. Before I bring on my guest, Katrina Ariel, I'd like to pause for this message.
Every one of us is under stress from work, family, the economy, layoffs, the inability to retire. These are the realities today. Even if you're doing okay, we all have friends and relatives experiencing hard times. Hey, just watching the news can make you nervous. Make no mistake, there's nothing benign about stress. It can lead to high blood pressure, digestive problems, difficulty concentrating, and increased risk of disease. That's why Dr. Jerry Teplitz wrote the book Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. He presents easy, effective techniques to reduce stress, eliminate pain, relieve insomnia, and gain an overall sense of well-being. Managing Your Stress is fully illustrated and provides hands-on, proven methods you can use immediately. Dr. Teplitz knows how to cut to the chase. He begins working with you from the very first page of Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. Click on the cover that you see on the WebTalkRadio.net page in front of you and buy it now. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, and it will change your life.
My guest today is Katrina Ariel. Katrina is a highly certified yoga instructor. She's author of Yoga for Dragon Riders and host of Yoga Radio on Voice of America Health and Wellness Channel. Katrina enjoys teaching a dynamic range of yoga from therapeutic alignment, restorative yoga, and meditation. And she also gets into more challenging active classes and even what she calls yoga fitness blends. She brings the physical and the philosophical elements of yoga together in ways that offer each person the chance to choose the practice that's actually best for them. So, Katrina, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Jerry. I'm happy.
So what got you into yoga in the first place?
A friend. Actually, a couple of friends introduced me to yoga, and my first experience with yoga was, it left me feeling so energized and so happy in my body that I ended up doing a six-hour hike that day after the yoga class, and I felt great at the end of it. It just really profound feeling of just feeling good.
Great. I've actually been doing yoga since around 71 when it was not really that well known or accepted, and friends of mine actually pressured me into taking it because I was skeptical about it, and I was an attorney at that time, and actually I was going to use my legal skills to prove them that it didn't work. And shortly after, I noticed lower back pain problems I had most of my life were gone, and I had more flexibility than I've had as a high school athlete, and so I wound up studying it myself as well.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So give us a little bit of your background about how you became a yoga teacher then.
Well, I became a teacher primarily because my teacher was moving away, and because I had a strong personal practice and I had some teaching skills from other things that I've done in life, she asked me to take over her classes. And since that point, through self-study and then years of very intensive trainings with some of the top yoga teachers in the world and some not so well-known yoga teachers who are incredibly talented in their own rights, I have developed my practice. And that said, I am a highly certified yoga instructor, but at the same time, I feel like there's so much in this field to learn that I could continue to be a student for the rest of this lifetime and dedicate a few more to this practice and study.
Great. So now I'm not familiar with some of the terms you're using myself, where you restorative yoga and yoga fitness blends. Can you tell our listeners what you mean by those?
Absolutely. So restorative yoga is a wonderful, very restful style of yoga where you are supported with different props, and it's a more passive and very gentle yoga experience. And at the same time, it's a very profound way to open because you feel very supported. So, for instance, a supported chest opener, you would lay over bolsters or pillows. And it's a vulnerable place for some people to open up the heart area, the chest area. And it's a way that you can do that and still feel very safe. In yoga boot and the yoga fitness blend that I do, I basically take the elements, the attitude and intention and alignment of yoga, mm-hmm. and bring in fitness elements. So if somebody really wants to get in shape and wants a more dynamic, very intense practice, I do a fitness practice for the first part of the class and then a yoga cool down, basically, but it brings the two together. So I still sing Om at the beginning of class and really bring the heart element into fitness. And people have just responded so well to this blend because it brings the whole being in mind, body, and spirit. You're not just working out, but you're bringing your whole self to it.
So you're bringing part of the philosophy in as well, as opposed to let's just do the postures. You've got the philosophical element there too.
Exactly. And I found that that's really important to me. And most people, when they do the physical practice, they feel good. Often that's enough for some people, and that's totally fine. But most people, when they continue to go into yoga, they naturally start incorporating the elements of the philosophy that feel right for them and get a lot more benefits out of the practice because of that.
Great. Now, what are some of the health benefits that you're seeing for your clients out of the yoga you're teaching?
There are so many, and they span the physical and energetic and emotional and mental. So physically, yoga benefits every single system in your body. And a lot of that is the circulation and the breath. And just moving and getting circulation to areas of your body is really optimal circulation is one of the definitions of optimal health. So that's how yoga works. And, of course, you're stretching things that are tight, and that helps to relieve pain and to remove the cause of pain in a lot of instances as well. And it can be very therapeutic. In other levels of wellness, you can have a lot of de-stressing. So your mental clarity can improve, your focus, the emotional elements are incredible because you not only naturally come into a more calm, peaceful state, but there's that joy that comes from feeling good just naturally bubbles up. And, of course, confidence comes from that. I could really go on and on, but it's a full holistic benefits across the board. And I'm just talking about the physical practice in conjunction with the philosophy. And if you bring meditation in, then you're getting even more.
And it was actually years ago, I know lots of research that was done, a fellow who was an MD involved with a guy named Swami Rama, mm-hmm. And they actually did a lot of research studies in Illinois, I believe it was, validating a lot of the health changes that happened in people, from lowering blood pressure to more energy to all kinds of things like that. So there's actually scientific validation out there for something that's like about 5,000 years old as a system.
Exactly, and it's innovated so much through that time, but it's beautiful to know that this ancient system has been scientifically studied, and they could do a lot more studies with it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you also talk about yoga therapy. Tell us the approach that you're using with that and the kind of benefits you're getting when you do it in a therapeutic sense.
Mm-hmm. So therapy is usually somebody's got something that is a concern for them, and they're looking for somebody else to help them to shift that concern. So yoga therapy has many different approaches. The approach that I take depends on each person. Basically, for the majority of people coming to me, they're looking for a very physical element. They've got a shoulder pain or neck pain or back pain or knee pain. And I help them to identify the patterns of misalignment that are generally what are putting them in pain. So that can be postural. That can be they've got tight muscles that need to be worked. That can be there are weaknesses that need to be brought into balance. And so I devise a very specific practice for them to strengthen and stretch the things that they need. And often I bring in little bits of the philosophy as well, because if somebody's got neck and shoulder pain, it might be because they're hunched forward because they've been holding some trauma in the chest area for a long time that's very emotional. So I'll very gently bring philosophy in if I feel that that's right for the certain person. There are other approaches that I bring in, more restorative yoga, in depending on what's going on for a person.
So with yoga therapy, is that more of a one-on-one experience for folks versus a class?
For the most part, yes. Sometimes okay. I do workshops and semi-privates, but I really like to get one-on-one so that people... Because when you understand yourself and you can be aware of the things that you're doing that are sort of getting in the way of what you want, right, then it empowers
you. Nothing's getting in my way, lady.
Good. I'm so glad. I would love to say that myself. Sometimes I get in my own way.
Yes, we all do.
It's so helpful to have somebody point that out in a very gentle and kind way that says, you're not doing anything wrong, but if you are aware of this, then you can make changes.
Yeah, actually, that's one of the things I like about yoga. The concept is you don't have to do it perfect to get the benefits.
Exactly.
And so even if you could only stretch 2 inches, if that was your best 2 inches, that worked for you.
That's a great point, Jerry.
Yeah. So give us an example of one of your yoga therapy clients that is kind of memorable for you as to the change that occurred for somebody.
There is one client that really stands out for me. I have a really special connection with her because I worked with her one-on-one for a very extended period of time. And most of my yoga therapy clients, I try to give them exactly what they need the first or the second session, and they go away empowered to take care of themselves that rather than relying on me is that's the approach. For some people, they need more... a more gentle and lengthy approach just from where they're coming from. And one particular woman was coming with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and when she came to me, she could not even do a standing pose for 30 seconds without feeling very fatigued and having pain the next day. So I did a lot of restorative yoga and meditation with her, and using mantra and breathing techniques as well. And we interspersed active poses with restorative yoga. And at first it was just a tiny bit, a little bit of active poses. And over time, over the course of several months, she improved so significantly that it was just like night and day. And at this point, over... probably a year and a half later, she's actually doing my yoga fitness program, which is the most intense program that I teach. So that was so special for me to be able to go through that process with her and see it work so well.
So before we get to the more intense part of our conversation, I'd like to remind you, you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teppan. We'll be back with my guest, Katrina Ariel, in just a moment.
Anyone who has migraines knows that they are almost totally debilitating and hard, if not impossible, to treat. Or should we say they were impossible to treat? Dr. Jerry Teplitz's DVD, Instant Headache and Migraine Relief, delivers on its promise with a 5-minute migraine cure and a 90-second headache treatment. Learn this natural way to get rid of your migraine with the 2,000-year-old Japanese technique of Shiatsu, a pressure point method that's simple and immediately effective. The Instant Headache and Migraine Relief DVD also features bonus techniques for treating sore throats, stiff necks, and shoulder pain. No pills, no herbs, no waiting, just relief.
Jack Canfield, co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, learned these techniques from Dr. Teplitz and says, these techniques are so practical, so powerful, so simple. They've done it for me and my family. They can do it for you too. Click on the DVD cover on the page in front of you for more information. Instant headache and migraine relief comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. There's no reason to wait. Click on it now.
So my guest today is Katrina Ariel. She's a highly certified yoga instructor. She's author of the book Yoga for Dragon Riders. And you can learn about her book at yogafordragonriders.com. She's also host of Yoga Radio on Voice of America Health and Wellness Channel. She teaches a wide range of yogas from therapeutic alignment to restorative yoga to yoga fitness blends. And she combines the physical and the philosophical in what she teaches in yoga. So, Katrina, where are you physically located?
I am in Kamloops, British Columbia.
Got it, Western Canada. So for folks up there, if you want, you can go to her yogafordragonriders.com and you can get in touch with her about classes. But what if they're not up there? How do they find a good yoga instructor? What should they look for? How do they know if somebody is worth putting their body in front of?
Absolutely, and there are such a wide range of different yoga instructors. Some have been certified for years and have gone through a lot of training. Some yoga instructors go through a weekend online course. So, of course, there's a whole wide range of expertise, and I like to say that every person has something to offer, because if they're being called to teach, they obviously have something inside of them that they want to share. At the same time, you want to make sure that you are, especially if you're just beginning yoga, that you're going to somebody that you can trust and that knows how to help you, make you feel safe, and how to make sure if you have any injuries that you can work safely around those. I like to encourage people to interview prospective yoga instructors. You can ask them what kind of training they've had, what their approach is, how much alignment do they bring in. If you're looking for a certain type of yoga, a more gentle approach or a more active approach, you can get an idea of if that's what you're going to get out of that person's class. And I also like to encourage people to, you know, ask a teacher if they get up and walk around the room to help people, or if they stay at their mat the whole time. Those are two totally different ways of teaching, and one isn't necessarily better than the other. At the same time, if a teacher doesn't see you because they're doing their own practice on their mat, it's harder for them to guide you if you're doing something that might be not as helpful for your own practice, especially as a beginner. So somebody,
yeah, because it's hard when somebody is doing a posture and it's like the first time they're doing it. They really don't know what their body may be positioning like, and unless the instructor assists them, they won't know what the way they're really supposed to be.
Exactly, Jerry. And that I find really helpful when somebody is a teacher who walks around the room and gives tips, even if they don't do that the whole class, because it is helpful to watch a teacher do the pose. But even for me, sometimes I'm not seeing myself clearly, and for beginners especially, it's really helpful to have that hands-on or verbal adjustment.
Hey, one of the ways I think that you can, if you haven't had a chance to do some of the talking to a yoga instructor beforehand, if you've got a physical problem, if they're not asking everybody in the class, is there anything I need to be aware of for you, then you might not have somebody who's experienced enough as an instructor, because that should really be the first thing that they're asking.
Absolutely. It's something that's standard for me if somebody new comes to my class. Now, that said, sometimes if it's a really busy entrance, a really busy class, and there's a lot of people and the instructor just for some reason does not have time to get to you,
mm-hmm.
if somebody is coming into a class with an injury, I love it when people come up to me and just volunteer that information as a yoga instructor. That's really helpful. The other thing that people can do to find out what kind of instruction they like is take a bunch of different classes. Go to a lot of different teachers and find the one that you resonate with, because that is one of the best ways to just intuitively choose an instructor.
Because originally when yoga came over to this country, there was pretty much just one type of yoga, kind of the overall Hatha yoga. And one of the interesting things about the West is that we've evolved a whole range of other ways of doing yoga, from the hot yoga to the restorative that you're talking about. So it's actually broadened out, I think, a lot more than it traditionally has been.
It's enormous, the differences in each class and each teacher, even within different methods, for sure.
Now, if you don't have time to take a yoga class, are there ways to get some benefit from yoga?
Absolutely, and that's a concern for a lot of people because they want to do yoga, but most classes are at least an hour long, hour and a half is standard. So with driving to and from class, it can be a two-hour ordeal or more. And that,
well,
I mean,
there goes my day. You want me to do yoga and get relaxed? I lost my day.
if you've got the time, if you can schedule the time, it's so helpful to go to class.
Yeah.
You know, but we seem to be a busier and busier society. And on a daily basis, that might not be realistic for some people. So having a shorter personal practice at home is excellent. Even 5 to 15 minutes can make a difference. Just moving and breathing and getting centered in and remembering that, you know, to be grateful for your body or to breathe some kindness into those places that might be talking to you. Just a short personal practice is excellent. And there are so many resources, from books to online yoga videos to yoga videos you can get from your library, to help people get into that if that's something that is what they want, to get a home practice going. But again, just remembering that even 5 to 15 minutes can make a difference is so helpful.
As a matter of fact, I've been doing yoga at home probably for about 41 years and meditating. And one of the things all of those pieces together also do is slow down the aging process.
Mm-hmm.
So in our society where people are concerned about aging, I just had my Medicare birthday recently. But I don't look it, don't feel it, don't act it, and I attribute it to the things I do, like yoga and meditating, to allow that to happen.
That's excellent, Jerry.
So in terms of there's the physical practice of yoga, and talk more about the kind of the mental side, the philosophical side, and how that comes into play for you.
There's so much of it. Speaking from my own personal practice, meditation is huge for me. It helps me to stay centered. It helps me to remember what's important and to be in the moment and not get caught up in the too many things I'm trying to take on. So that helps me to also obviously have more to give when I'm teaching, is my own personal meditation practice. The philosophy and the perspective, basically, the attitude that yoga has helped me to incorporate into my life, is to see reality, but to look for what is good, look for the beauty, to look for the positive in myself, in others, in the things around me. Because too often as a human being, especially when I regress into earlier habitual perspectives, it's really easy to get caught up in, well, that's wrong, and this is wrong, and I don't like this about myself, all of that. So to soften the harsh edges, so to speak, of the perspective that I have in life, incorporating yoga philosophy has been so helpful, and it just brings me back into the fact that I am more than my human experience, and I'm interconnected to something that is interconnected to everybody else. So it softens the idea of separation, and when you get into a more unity consciousness approach to life and approach to yourself, great things happen. It's such a change for me personally.
Great. Now, you just recently published a book, Yoga for Dragon Riders, a very unique title. So tell us about what's a little bit about the book and how you picked the title.
Well, it's definitely a different title, and it is nonfiction. Dragon Riders is out of the realm of fantasy literature, of course.
Oh, damn, I thought I'd have a dragon riding experience.
Well, you can.
Okay, oh, good.
In the book. I've got lots of visualizations in there, in addition to the physical practice and philosophical aspects, meditation, mantra, which is the chanting. There's so many elements of yoga that I've brought together, but because I really like play, I don't like to take things too seriously, even though things can be, you can still be serious and not take yourself seriously, if that makes any sense. It can be profound and playful at the same time. And that is what's really brought into the creative play of this book being Yoga for Dragon Riders. It's the idea of taking an adventure through dragon rider training, which automatically, if you think of yourself as a dragon rider, you sort of think of yourself as more powerful and, you know, acting in a way that is for the good of all, which most people want to do anyway, but maybe not. That's maybe not their approach in their head, or not seeing themselves that way, even if they are acting that way in everyday life. But the dragon rider is a metaphor that it's not only motivation to really step up to your own purpose and to live life fully, but also it's a metaphor to bring the universal element and the individual element of the self together. So the dragon symbolizes universal energy, and the dragon rider is the individual self, and those merge in yoga. That's really the point of yoga, to bring the individual and the universal together. And this is a really creative approach to doing that.
So for listeners, if you'd like to learn more about Katrina Ariel's book, you can actually get the first two chapters for free, as well as order the book by going to yogafordragonriders.com, yogafordragonriders.com, and you can take a look at the chapters and order the book there. And Katrina, thank you for being a guest today on Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun, Jerry.
My guest next week is going to be Dr. Julie Chen. Dr. Chen has been on this show before. She is an MD in integrative medicine. She is board certified in internal medicine and also fellowship trained and board certified in integrative medicine. She has her own medical practice in San Jose, California. She's medical director of Corporation Wellness at several Silicon Valley-based corporations. She's a columnist for several national magazines. She's been featured on radio, TV, newspaper, magazine interviews. She uses a whole modality of alternative and complementary healing modalities. And we're going to be talking in our second appearance on Healthy Alternatives on hair loss, using aspirin or not to use aspirin, what foods help a healthy libido, vegetarianism, what kind of supplements and vitamins you might need to watch out for as well. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. You can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.